thank you for that special music. It's absolutely beautiful. Been a while since we've had special music. I know you've come down to North Canton a few times to perform, and it's very, very much appreciated. Well, good Sabbath to everybody, and if there are any guests, welcome. It's nice to be able to be up here. It's been a few months since Robin and I were here, and she's not able to make it because she's a little bit under the weather. So rather than bringing that up with her, she decided to stay home. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We recognize this as the 23rd Psalm, a Psalm of David, and I was reading this from the English Standard Translation. There is a very special relationship that exists between a shepherd and his sheep. And we have heard messages over the years how this is very important, as we are the sheep and God and Jesus Christ is our shepherd. We need to know our God, and we need to know him as shepherd, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and the Father. And we read in John 10, verse 15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And, of course, he's referencing us. That's us, the sheep, his sheep. And in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. There is a critical part of having a right kind of relationship with God, with the Father, and with Jesus Christ. In any relationship, there is an obvious aspect of knowing the other individual. Not knowing of them, but knowing their character, their likes, their personality, their dislikes, everything about them. That's what develops in the relationship. God desires that we have a relationship with him that will cause us to desire to grow closer to him. Part of getting to know God better is knowing his names, not just knowing what they are, but knowing what his names mean. Today we are going to take a quick look at a name of God that is focused on a major effect that it has on us, on all of us. That is, it's a blessing for all of us, especially in our times now and the times that are just ahead of us. And we live in a very trying time. I think we're all very much aware of that, very difficult times. We are blessed in this country, but still the times here are very difficult compared to 10, 15 years ago. Our God is a resting place of peace for us. And this is a very difficult time. And this one name, Jehovah Shalom, is what we're looking at. The Lord is peace. So if you're looking for a title, if you're taking notes and you like titles, the title will be Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. There is a well-known saying that we often see on bulletin boards or billboards from different religious groups, and sometimes you'll see it in a magazine or in the paper. And it keys on two words. They sound the same, but it's two different words. Know and no, K-N-O-W and N-O. Know Jesus, no peace. Know Jesus, no peace. And that is N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace, but K-N-O-W, Jesus, and K-N-O-W, peace. It is a cute saying, and as we think about it, and the meaning of it, there's a lot in this. We can plumb the depths pretty good with just looking at that one aspect. If Jesus is not in our life, there is no peace in our life. Yet if we have knowledge of Jesus, that is not just knowing of him, but having knowledge of him, then we will know, K-N-O-W, peace. On the surface, this is very thought-provoking, and we realize that there is much more to peace in our lives than merely knowing of Jesus Christ and knowing of God. One thing is clear to all of us. We do not live right now in a world filled with peace. There are pockets of relative peace, even here in this country and other parts of the world, but it's not the same as it used to be. But still, we are very blessed with the pockets of peace that we have, that we can travel to services, that we can fellowship, that we can actually get together here and worship God. And I don't know how many of you have heard, but there are places in this country where that kind of peace is not as it used to be, and not quite like we have it right here. The blessing of peace from God. Yet not as much, again, as we had 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. There's an eroding of that in this country and in this world. There is violence in our land from both domestic and from foreign causes. I think we're all aware of that. The fact is that one of the worst cities in this world for disturbances and a lack of peace is in this country is Detroit, Michigan. And that particular comes from many different law enforcement agencies. And I'm not talking about where there is war, like in Jerusalem, there's a lack of peace there because of war, but I'm talking about domestically. And there are a lot of cities in the world, but also a lot of cities here in this country. And according to many law officials, they believe that Detroit is one of the worst for this specific loss of peace, different in our domestic landscape than other places around the world. Interestingly, that the same culture that is causing unrest in the war in Gaza and in Afghanistan and the Middle East is also behind much of the lack of peace in many parts of the world, including in the city of Detroit. The definition of the word peace includes several things. And I looked up online from the online dictionary. We find that it is a noun, the absence of war or other hostilities, an agreement or a treaty to end hostility, freedom from quarrels and disagreements, having harmonious relationships, used as a greeting or a farewell as well, peace, and a request for silence. If there's a lot of things going on in a classroom, for example, the teacher might raise her hand, peace! Be quiet, will you? Settle down. peace, shalom. In the Old Testament, it is a condition of freedom from disturbance, whether outwardly as a nation from war or enemies, or inwardly. And, of course, in Jerusalem, that's not the kind of peace that they haven't had that for quite a while. A full definition also found somewhere else on the Internet was full definition of peace, one, a state of tranquility or quiet, as a freedom from civil disturbance, and two, a state of security or order within a community that is provided for. From the online Freebase definition, peace. Peace is a state of harmony characterized by a lack of violence, conflict behaviors, and the freedom from fear of violence. Commonly understood as the absence of hostility, peace also suggests the existence of healthy or newly healed interpersonal or international relationships. There's a kind of peace that can come between individuals when there's some sort of friction, and then that there's a healing there. So there's a peace that comes between individuals as well. And also, in a political sense, if there is a working out of political things that have an interest for both sides. From the Latin pax, meaning freedom from civil disorder, the English word came into use in various personal greetings right around the year 1300 and as a translation from the Hebrew word shalom. Such a translation is, however, imprecise, as shalom, which is also very similar to the Arabic word salam, S-A-L-A-A-M, has multiple other meanings besides just peace. In addition to peace, it includes justice, it includes good health, safety, well-being, prosperity, equity, security, good fortune, and friendliness. So there's a lot of meaning, a lot of depth to that word shalom or peace. At a personal level, peaceful behaviors are kind, considerate, respectful, just, and tolerant of others' beliefs and behaviors, tending to manifest goodwill. This latter understanding of peace can also pertain to an individual's inner perspective sense or concept of himself or herself, as in being at peace with one's own mind. And we know that lately throughout the last how many years it's been that people's minds are not at peace. I just recently had a conversation with somebody about people delving into the occults and the Ouija boards, and how two things end up happening to those who get so deep into it that they lose peace, but they also either commit suicide or they literally go crazy. There's no peace in their mind. They end up in some sort of sanitarium of some sort. So there's a peace in one's own mind that is there as well. It's found in Europe. There are references from the Common Era 12,000 moving forward. The early English term is also used in a sense of quiet. Like I mentioned earlier, the teacher says, please be quiet, be their peace. Reflecting calm, serene, and meditative approaches to families or groups, relationships that avoid quarreling and seeking tranquility. An absence of disturbance or aggression. It is easy to see that even with the definitions of peace that we find that man has put together, we just don't have very much peace in our times, either in the world or even in our culture around here. I think all of us, we have this relative peace, but I know for those of us who are a little bit older, maybe even not that much older, but we could actually camp in our yards in the city, put up a tent in the backyard and have peace that there was not going to be any problems. That kind of peace does not exist today in many cities as it did in the past. This actually reminded me of Jeremiah 8, verses 11. And if you want to turn there, I'll be reading this from the King James translation. Jeremiah 8, verse 11. Jeremiah 8, verse 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And the same verse from the English Standard Version. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And finally, from the Easy to Read Version. They should bandage the wounds of my people having suffered, but they treat their wounds like small scratches. They say, it's all right, everything is all right, but it is not all right. Wounds that we suffer or hurts, not only from physical things like a cut on the arm or even something as severe as a broken bone, are not just physical, but most of the time our lack of peace within us will come from emotional hurts, mental anguish of sorts because of the things that we go through or because of we know things that other people are going through. And the suffering from this need needs treatment as well, not just treatment for a wound that is physical, but also the emotional as well. In our society, we hear terms such as, get over it, grow up, will you, or get past it. And that comes when somebody is running through a difficult time and their response is such that you could see that there's a lack of peace. And we just say, get over it, will you? Grow up. Get past this. We will look at the hurts of others as small matters. Often we do that, telling them everything will be all right. This could be a blessing, what you're going through. It is a way of saying, be at peace. This too will pass, just like what we just read in the Bible. It's all right, but it isn't all right. The truth is, it is not all right. There is no peace. Why? True peace comes only from God, and we know that. His name tells us that. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. One important area that we are to be watching is the signs of our times. We've been instructed to do that. Not to put fear into us or to lose the sense of peace in our lives, but to be ready for when things will change, and for some have begun to change, to the point that we need the peace from God in our life just to get by. And the world around us will notice, and this is part of the reason we need to focus on this, the world around us will notice that there is a very specific calm about us when there's unrest going around and we're going through that, and a peace that will pass their understanding. They won't understand, why aren't we at peace when we're going through such a trial or such a situation? And they all ask, what is this hope that you have within you, and where does it come from? We can answer, my hope comes from God, from the Lord. He is the Lord of peace. But for this to happen, so that it is evident in our behavior, in our speech, in our attitudes, in the way we deal with other people, and the things that we, because of the things we go through, for this to happen, we need to K-N-O-W God, or there will be N-O, peace, in our life. This is true even for those considering themselves Christians in other parts of the world who are very sincere about obeying God to the best that God has allowed them to understand, but they don't have all of God's truth, but they're very sincere about being a Christian and following God. The real unrest still threatens them, and there is an unrest in the world right now and a very big lack of peace. Unfortunately, the news media in this world does not really present the true things that are going on around us. We actually have to go and look at news in other parts of the world to get a much deeper understanding of what's taking place, even in our own country. And that's sad, but that is the truth. Being at peace does not mean that we should be jovial or carefree or joking around all the time or just saying, que sera, sera, whatever will be. We can be sobered because of what is going on around us, still having an inner peace and still being someone who is at rest with others and setting a good example. An inner peace that passes under our understanding because of what God does for us. There can be still a calm about us when we face difficulties and unrest in our own lives, when there is a distraction, even fear all around us. And in many parts of the world, there is a fear all around people. But when it comes to us, and we have a fear around us too, that sense of peace will pass the understanding of others. And that's something that we need to have in the back of our mind. For example, you probably heard about the murders of the 8 Christians by the Islamic group ISIS. Maybe even saw some of the pictures in the news and on the news reports that was released a while back. And, of course, most recently, the beheading of 2 journalists that certainly for the people out there take the sense of peace away and puts a fear and an anxiety in their lives. And knowing that they have actually in their manifest or in their determined writings that they want to destroy anyone who does not follow their way of thinking. They have a saying that first those who keep Saturday and then those who keep Sunday. They don't care who you are or what your religion you are. The fact is that they will take peace away and bring fear to us because that's part of their life to do that. This happened to those 8 individuals who were former Muslims because they did not convert back to Christianity. This was in the Illinois Review, and there were photos there. I don't know if anyone here saw them, but they were kind of disturbing because of this Armenian genocide that took place. They were not rebel fighters from a rival faction, as many news outlets actually reported that being the case. Each of the 8 men were charged with a crime of apostasy for renouncing Islam. This is not the only unrest going on, and the only thing that can rob us of peace or rob them of peace. Even our personal lives can do that as well, our finances or maybe health situations as well. But looking back at this, the individuals converted to Christianity and they would not renounce what they were going through, so they refused to revert back to Islam. And this is the only reason that the Islamic people will crucify somebody, is because, according to the Islamic jurisprudence, crucifixion is a method of death reserved only for Christians and also those who keep Saturday, which, of course, in their looking is just the Jewish. But anyone who keeps a Sabbath and anyone who keeps Sunday are individuals that they're going to target for crucifixion. And they just don't care. That's what they're going to do, and that's what they have been doing. One thing that we can be perfectly clear on about this is that we are not looking at a man-made conflict. It is a spiritual war that exists. It is influenced by Satan, that men would reach out to kill anyone that says that they are following Christ. Satan wants everything to do with God done away with. That's part of what he does. He does it all kinds of different ways. And it's very disturbing to see that. And that's something that we need to be aware of. And when this fight reaches us here in this country to the people of God around the world, our response of a peace that passes all understanding can only come if our relationship with God is spot on. And, of course, we're human. We will make mistakes, but God knows our heart. He knows our intentions, and he does forgive us. He's very gracious, and he will protect us. And we, again, do face all kinds of unrest in our lives domestically, but also personally, with health issues, with finances, with jobs, housing needs, even relationships with people, maybe our neighbors or people in the church or our family, where there is a sense of unrest of some sort that mounts around us. Things that are going on in the world, as well as things that are going on in our own personal lives. We see some things in the news, things that are disturbing here in the U.S. and around the world, much of it in the Middle East at this time. And we are to pay attention, but we are also to be at peace with it, because we know what God has promised us and have the faith to believe and trust that God will keep his word for us. There's a short news piece that comes out each week, and I don't know how many of you are aware of this. Maybe you already know, maybe some of you actually receive it. It's called Prophetic Times. It's written by a pastor here in the United Church of God, Mr. Jim Turk, and he pastors Oakland, San Jose, Santa Rosa, Stockholm, and the Hawaii congregations. When I found that out, I thought, talk about a circuit. He's got a long way to go to serve the brethren in that part of the country. It is short, but it has several relevant news items that can help us stay focused on what is happening in the world. And I'm only going to take a look at two of them that came from one a few weeks ago. We can also get some of this news in other different places, because he pulls it from different news articles from around the world. This one was from August 5th, 2014. Boko Haram attacks 5 churches in northern Nigeria. ChristianToday.com reported Islamic extremist group Boko Haram has attacked at least 5 churches in the Borno State, northern Nigeria. Christian Solidarity Worldwide reports gunmen reported using IEDs and petrol bombs to destroy churches in the Howell local government area, which is home to predominantly Christian community, and this happened on the evening of July 30th. Pardon me. No one is thought to have died in the attack, but 2 people were murdered in a Shuffle district of Halal on July 26th by Boko Haram militants. Eyewitnesses say that the victims were each beheaded and their severed heads placed on their chests. Boko Haram is an Islamic terror group intent on cleansing Nigeria of Christians. Members have also attacked moderate Muslim community as well. So it's not just the Christians, but anyone who claims to be Muslim but doesn't really truly follow to the extent that these hard-nosed individuals are, they will also be persecuted as well. Then there was another one. You might have heard this one. The hand of God sent missiles into the sea. August 6th, this was reported. WND.com reported, more claims of divine intervention are being reported in the ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas, with an operator of Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system saying he personally witnessed the hand of God diverting an incoming rocket out of harm's way. Israel Today translates a report from the Hebrew language news site which noted the Iron Dome battery actually failing. And it failed three times to intercept incoming rockets headed toward Tel Aviv at that time. The commander recalled a missile was fired from Gaza. Iron Dome precisely calculates its trajectory. We know where these missiles are going to land down to a radius of 200 meters. That's how accurate this Iron Dome is. This particular missile was going to hit either the Azrael Towers, the Kairia, K-I-R-Y-A, it's Israel's equivalent to our Pentagon, or the Tel Aviv Railway, the central station. Hundreds could have died. We fired the first interceptor, and it missed. Fired a second interceptor, and it missed, and the third one missed. It is very rare that this happens. It was a shock to those individuals who actually operate the Iron Dome system. At this point, we had just 4 seconds until the missiles landed. We had already notified emergency services to converge on the target location and had warned of mass casualties that were going to take place. Suddenly, Iron Dome, which calculates wind speed, among other things, for the trajectory of the bombs are coming, showed a major wind from the east, a strong wind that sent the missiles into the sea. We were all stunned. I stood up and shouted, "There is a God." And there was another report about this that was where somebody on the Islamic side said, "Their God directs our missiles away." So their God stopped this. So they actually could see that. God watches over us. He does see what's going on in our lives, and he does protect us. And that's part of what we have to have in the back of our mind as well, to have a kind of peace when we're facing these different types of situations. God does protect his people. Even though the country of Israel is not perfect, they do keep the Sabbath. And that is a sign between God and his people. There are many other stories from around the world, and they can very easily fit into the prophecies that are going to be hitting us, and in this country as well, that we are going to see when we have knowledge about what's going to be taking place in this country, because God tells us so in the different prophetic events. And it's going to be things other than the war with the Islamics or others as well. It's things that are going to affect us in prophetic events with health, with food, with finances, with crime, with government, with education, and a whole lot more. There's a section in Revelation that talks about, if you do not turn back to me, there you will receive certain types of punishment. And if you still don't turn back and change your ways, it'll increase by 7 times. And if you still don't, it'll be another 7 times and another 7 times. And there's actually a couple places in those scriptures, if you want to look them up, that tells us precisely what some of those things are going to be. And what's absolutely amazing is some of those things have already started to happen. We are to pay attention. However, we need to have a different perspective on what's going on around us in the world than most of what the world has. One of peace, a sense of contentment. Again, this comes only from God. We can have this because of our relationship with God, and knowing God will build the relationship, and knowing God's names will help us do that. We'll add to our knowledge of God what he has promised to do and what he can do. The name that we are looking at today is Jehovah Shalom, or the Lord is peace. When I started the study of God's names back at the beginning of the summer, I really did not realize how massive this particular study was going to become. This is actually the third name that I was looking at. And the books that I started to look up, I actually used the eSword, which is a Bible program that had a lot of information there. I also went online and found a bunch of things, but one of them, some of you may have this, is the Bible Topics book. Also, several books that have the exact same name, the names of God. And here's two of them that I used. One is by Lester Semeral, and the other one by George W. Knight. And they're very, very helpful. One goes into a lot more detail, and the other one kind of spreads out into other types of information on this. But if you decide to do a study on that, there's so much information there that it's absolutely amazing. Also, again, on the Internet, there's a lot available, and if you have eSword or another Bible program, a lot of times there will be God's names and some of the different things in there as well. For all of us, peace can be an elusive blessing because of human nature, to take a negative road on the different things that are going on around us. And the push from Satan to get our focus away from God. And if we're not careful, we can be blindsided. And all of a sudden, there we are in a situation and get a sense of fear or worry or anxiety or something else that will take that peace away from us. There are over 250 names and titles in the Bible for God, both the Father and for Jesus Christ. And I don't know that I will ever finish all 250 plus, but so far it has been a very rewarding study. And it's something that I think many of you, if you haven't already done, would benefit from as well. Let's look at some of the scriptures that cover God's name here, Jehovah Shalom, or the Lord is peace. I'm not going to go through any specific order, and just jump around a little bit. We'll take a look at some of them, but others I will just read out. Most of this will come from the English Standard Version, and we'll start by turning to the book of James, chapter 3, if you would. Again, I'll read this from the English Standard Version. James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Here we see the result of godly wisdom. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. First, pure. Second, wisdom is peaceable. And we can harvest righteousness when it is sown in peace. And this actually shows that peace is active. It's not a passive thing. God wants us to be active in our faith and in our walk, and the peace is an active thing. We're not living like a couch potato, just sitting there and kind of being at peace and humming. That's not peace at all. Psalms 147, verse 14 reads, "He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat." We see peace in the government of Jesus Christ when he returns. And in Isaiah 2, verse 4, "He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword again, neither shall they learn war anymore." War definitely is a lack of peace. Peace will cover the earth, and all war will come to an end. We are to seek and to pray for peace for those with whom we dwell. And Jeremiah 29, verse 7 reads, "Also do good things for the city I send you to. Pray for the Lord, for the city you are living in, because if there is peace in that city, you will have peace also. This world, this would include with our own families as well. One of the things that we can do, of course, is when we see ourselves being blindsided or running through some sort of a situation, we know to turn to God in prayer. But we can call on God using his names, like this one here, and just letting God know. And, of course, he's aware of what we're going through, more so than we are. But if we see that we're having difficulty with peace because of health or because of finances, because of a job, because of other relationships, we can actually turn to God as the Lord of peace and ask him to give us the peace that we need, and trusting and believing that he will do that. In Leviticus chapter 26, if you want to turn there, here we see the promise from God of peace if there's a reason we can receive peace. And it's explained here in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 through 6. Leviticus 26, verses 3 through 6. Remember my laws and commands and obey them. If you do these things, I will give you rains in the time they should come. The land will grow crops and the trees of the field will grow their fruits. Your threshing will continue until it is time to gather grapes, and your grape gathering will continue until it is time to plant. Then you will have plenty to eat. You will live safely in your land. I will give peace to your country. You will lie down in peace. No one will come to make you afraid. I will keep harmful animals out of your country, and armies will not come through your country. Interesting that the peace that we've had in this country is eroding. And why? I think we all know it's because this culture that we live in, this country that we live in, has turned its back on God. In some cases deliberately, in other cases the slouching towards Laodicea. That particular sermon, I don't know if you've heard that one, but it's exceptionally good. But this country is slouching towards Laodicea in the attitude. And if we're not careful, we could do the same thing. And because of that, this country is suffering. And some of the lack of peace has increased in this particular verse. The lack of food, the winters, how it's affected the planting and the crops. I was talking with somebody this past week who is involved, their only job is involved with the oranges and the grapefruits. That's all they're involved with. And there's an insect that hasn't been around this country until just recently, where it's gotten into the fruit. And when you open up a beautiful orange or a beautiful grapefruit, there's hardly any liquid in it. It just dries it up. But you can't tell until you open it up. That is certainly something that is coming to this country as one of the many 7 times 7 times 7 of the different things that God is going to punish this nation with. So our peace has been eroding in this country, and again, it's because we have turned our back on God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, we read, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. That's talking about us. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 34. Here God is giving us instructions on how to have peace. Psalm chapter 34, and we'll look at verse 11. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Here's an instruction for us of how to find peace, to seek it and to pursue it. And, of course, we're also instructed there's wisdom in, if we see evil, to flee from it. In 1 Peter 3, verse 11, it reads, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. There's also an instruction in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. There's a particular attitude and a mindset that we're supposed to have as we seek peace. Norman Vincent Peale said, "The word worry is derived from an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to strangle or to choke." How well named this emotion is, it has been demonstrated again and again over time in persons who have lost their effectiveness due to the anxiety and the apprehension that comes into our lives because of worry. Worry is an enemy of peace. And there is no peace if we have any kind of anxiety. There is no peace in our life if we have any kind of apprehension or fear. It would be good for us to avoid all three. And it is a challenge, yet it is worth the effort to pay attention and to see in our lives if we start to become anxious about something, if we start to have any kind of apprehension about something, or we begin to worry about something, to turn to God immediately and ask Him to help us, because He is the Lord of peace, and He will do that. There is a story that you may have heard. I've heard it several times, told a little bit different ways, and I think maybe a couple weeks ago I actually saw this on Facebook, I believe. There was a man who came face-to-face with worry, and it was death was walking towards his town. He's going for a walk, and he comes up against this being called death. And the man asks, "Why are you here, and what are you going to do?" And this being says, "I'm going to take 100 lives of people." "That's horrible," the man replies. Death answered back, and he said, "That's just the way it is. That's what I do. I bring death." So the man ran to warn everyone in the village about death's plan, that he was going to take 100 people that day. As evening came, he met this one called Death again as he's walking through the town. "You told me you were going to take 100 people's lives. Why did 1,000 people die?" And Death responded, "I kept my word. I only took 100 people. Worry took the rest." The problem was and is for mankind worry. The Greek word, and I have to spell it, M-E-R-I-M-N-A-O, translates worry literally. It means to be drawn in different directions. And when we worry, that is what happens. We get concerned and are drawn mentally in different directions. Worry pulls us apart. There are lots of things that we can do to keep peace and pursue it. This one action step that will help us comes from the song, I think you remember from years ago, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." That's a deliberate action that we have to take. It's not something, like I said, sitting as a couch potato. That's something that we actually have to be active in our mindset and our attitude and turning to God to have that peace and get away from worry. Happiness and peace do live together. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Is this that important to God, that we should know His names and that we should understand the meanings of those names? Absolutely it is. In fact, it is so important that the third of the Ten Commandments actually addresses this. And I'll read this from the Contemporary English Translation. It's found in Exodus 20, verse 7, and other places. Exodus 20, verse 7 reads, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Sometimes we think using God's name and swearing is the only way to misuse God's name. That is an interesting study as well. We can misuse God's name in a lot of different ways if we don't pay attention. If we know what God's names are and the proper meaning of them and we use them properly, we would not be misusing them. Remember in Galatians 5, verse 22, this is from the easy-to-read version, "But the fruit of the Spirit produces in the person's life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All this has to work together. How important is our relationship with God? It will affect our eternal life. And knowing God's names and their meanings will affect our relationship with Him. We began with the 23rd Psalm. Keeping in mind all that we had just covered, the coming trials, our relationship with God and His names, and the peace that He gives us, I'm going to ask all of you to just close your eyes and listen as I recite the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace.